Today, as we dive into the haunting world of Real Ghost Stories Online, did this run-of-the-mill bookstore hold something on its shelves much more powerful than the words in any of its books?
Robert, I have to tell you, I'm getting scared already. Stop the countdown. We have to find out what happens next.
What were the origins of this haunting statue made of real bone? And what unforgettable effect did it have on the guests of this haunted bookstore?
Oh my God, sweet Jesus. The power of Christ compels you. I guess the hits don't stop. Till we reach the top of that freaky-ass statue of a demon groundhog. This is probably the type of shit you have on your fireplace. I bet the ladies love it.
Casey, don't get me started. When the hoes be in my crib, we be popping bottles and looking into the eyes of demonic artifacts rumored have been crafted by the hands of Satan himself.
Wow, now that sounds like a smoking hot night, as the kids would say. Doing it and doing it wild. And one more thing, make sure to put on something romantic. Personally, I like to listen to the sounds of babies crying in the woods. It's strange, but it puts me right to sleep.
That always has the same effect on me too. Very soothing and somber. Anyway, that story and much more, tonight on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
855-853-4802, our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online, to share your real ghost stories with us, we would absolutely love to hear them. Check out our bonus episodes, get all the bonus stuff over at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Tom on today's episode of the program. A little theatrics today at the beginning.
Wow. I can only imagine, like, I'm sitting here thinking, where have I done you wrong in life? And I'm wondering what your parents would think if they've heard that. That was so cool, man.
I just kind of started typing and it just kind of went off the rails really quickly. And yeah, but the idea of who was it that had the demonic artifacts? Casey Kasem having demonic artifacts, Robert Stack having demonic artifacts in his house that he brings over and when he brings the ladies over, he breaks those out.
And Casey loves hearing babies crying in the woods. That puts him right to sleep. That was, that did it for me right there.
Robert agreed. It's very soothing and somber, you know?
Oh my gosh. I'm glad you have fun with that. Although I am worried about your mental state sometimes, but
I never know what's going to come out. I never know what's going to happen. I like to surprise myself. That would be a great bit. Do they even have those in stores anymore? Probably not. Where you'd go up and you'd press the button and it was like, winter waves, and then it would have like the sound of waves crashing on the shore.
Yes.
Or whatever.
Yes.
And it would be interesting to set a display like that back up, but have weird shit in there and then put a camera on it and see what people, how they react. Like one of them would be babies crying in the woods and just other strange, just completely unpleasant sounds, but marketed as like this new relaxing thing.
I would love to put an app together. You know, people download it on their phone and it turns on their camera and that way you record their response to it. That would be great.
I that is a game I do like to play sometimes. You know, when on the camera or something, if I see one of the kids out there, I'll be like, I'll turn on the sound so I can like speak through it. I'll kind of try and make weird animal noises or like crying sounds. Like looking over the other night, Harper's out there sledding with a friend, and I was tempted to do that, but I did not.
Can you imagine what the parents of the neighboring kids have to say about the man in that house? Don't go play over there, kids.
Then Mr. Tony went and made the sounds of babies crying through the cameras when we were playing outside making snowmen.
Oh dear, you're never going over to that house ever again.
These are the things I do to amuse myself. And Harper loves it. Harper's like, this is great.
I know. I can totally see her enjoying the heck out of that. I know.
Because she'll play along. She'd be like, oh my God, do you hear that? You know? Oh, yeah. It's fun. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here. at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, let's go to our first letter. Starts out, hello, everyone. My name is Sarah. I'm writing in from London, UK. I'm a great fan of your show, and I've been listening to you since a couple years now. I work for a renowned bookshop in the heart of London called... I can never say this word. Esoteric, right? Esoteric.
There, you got it, yeah.
I got it. All right. Language class with Tony. Esoteric bookshop in the heart of London called Watkins Books, which is most probably the oldest surviving occult bookshop in the world. As you can imagine, we get many weird events around the shop, and I'd love to tell you more about it. The bookshop hosted many big names from the occult world, including Aleister Crowley and many others. To this day, the bookshop is a bit haunted. Among all the things, the most incredible thing that happened had to do with a small sleeping skeleton statue made of ox bone retrieved from Thailand that we stocked for a long time. The statue had the bad fame of being always returned because of the things that happened to the new owners. One day, a lady comes to the shop with the statue, which she had bought a month prior. She had it closed in a cardboard box, and she told us, "This statue is alive and won't rest in my home. I try to leave it on my altar at night, and I can hear tapping sounds on my wooden floor as if it walked away from it. And I have found it in different places around the apartment. I even found it outside my own home once. You can have it back. I don't want a refund." Lady also explained that she felt often uneasy, as if someone was constantly looking at her while she had the statue in her home. So she left the statue, which cost £195. So not cheap, and stormed away. Said that the statue had already been returned twice in the past because of the same issue. It's now found another owner in Hong Kong, and we're waiting to see what happens next. We think that the statue is supposed to be in a place like an altar to the dead, and that it requires many offerings. It is possible that all the owners just treated it like a beautiful handcrafted item without consideration for its needs, hence the haunting. I also think that the statue may be cursed. Another few events had happened. Mr. Watkins, the original owner of the bookshop, managed the place for a long time. He used to smoke cigars all the time, even inside the shop. Current manager sweared one day he'd seen him turning his back to him and walking towards the manager's office, and then disappeared. Still today, from time to time, we can smell cigar at the exact spot where the manager's office is. I guess he still works with us. Moreover, very often, things fall from the shelves on their own. One time, a book fell onto my head on its own, and again, another book fell right in front of the paranormal section, where all the books on the subject of paranormal are. I had seen it falling on the floor, but when I went to pick it up, it had disappeared. It was nowhere to be found. Others witnessed the events, too. I'm sure more things will happen, and I will keep you posted. Thanks for the amazing work. Sending lots of love from London, Sarah. That'd be an interesting place to work and to be.
I would love to visit. My plan is to go there at some point in the next couple of years. I'd love to go and check out that bookshop. The story's kind of reminded me of something I read today where, and I don't know if this is true or if somebody just wrote it and it's interesting, but they said their mom was reading the book The Exorcist. Mm-hmm. And she got so freaked out by it that she threw it in a pond behind the house and said, I don't want to read the rest of it. So the kids went out, bought another copy of it, stuck it in a bucket of water, and then shoved it in her bedside table.
Yeah.
All soaking wet, just to see her reaction. And I guess she went crazy.
That's a wonderful joke.
Yeah, I don't know if they actually followed through with it and just being funny, but I'm like, oh, that would be so sweet to spook somebody. You know, when you think about places like London, obviously it's no older than where we live in terms of actual age, but so much more went on there that you just wonder about the hauntings in a city like London and mm-hmm. how far back they go and how strong those energies are.
Yeah, I mean, the history and structurally things, there's just so many things there that I think hold so much of the past. There's a lot more of keeping buildings and such from the past over there than there is here. In the U.S., right. There's been so much of, you know, if it's looks like from a different decade or something and it's not quite right, knock it down, destroy it, get rid of it. Not so much over there. So I think that also contributes to you know, those sort of things existing the way that they do.
I would love to. I wish there were more occult shops in my area of the country, because I would definitely go to them. They're few and far between, and sometimes I think locally some of the places that are run aren't necessarily run all that well. Mm-hmm. So you're not always getting the best advice you could get. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You should start one.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put all my money to an occult shop.
Todd's
what money occult I have.
Shop.
It'll be great.
It'll be
What's
great.
It?
Todd's occult shop. It'll be great. Just, you know, like a little place downtown, you know, next to the old George Webb. And there you go. It would be great.
Stop on in for your occult needs and we'll you'll give it get a coupon for George Webb's.
It'd be great. Yes. Yes. Are there George Webb's anywhere anymore? Or are they all gone?
I think there are a couple around, but locally, I think there's nothing here. Milwaukee might have them here in Wisconsin.
Okay. Yeah. Gosh, that's 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another letter. It says, I just recently started listening to your podcast on Podcast Republic and app for the Android. I just started the Snow Demon episode, so I'm still getting caught up on present day episodes. There are two in particular that I'd like to talk about. I bolded the states in my story. That way you could change or leave them out if you wanted, but I don't mind if you say the actual states. The first one was the Shadow People episode where you mentioned astral projecting. If I remember correctly, you wondered whether or not people who astral projected, not those who saw the projection, remembered it. And I have a story related to that question. This didn't happen to me, but to my grandmother. First one, quick background information. My grandfather died when I was 5. When I was 8, my grandmother remarried and divorced when I was 16, if I remember correctly. After the divorce, my grandmother decided to buy a townhouse on the newer side of town. When I was 18, I moved from the state my parents and siblings live in, Idaho, to go to college in the state my grandmother lives in, New Mexico. At the time, she was still living with her ex-husband. The townhouse was a bit pricey, so a couple years prior, he offered to move in and help with rent. It wasn't awkward. They were more like roommates because the romantic attraction was gone for both of them, and they remained good friends. Besides, he traveled for most of the year, and he wasn't around much. When I was 19, she started seeing someone new. Well, he's a general manager for casinos, and when his contract is up, he goes wherever a new casino wants him. In September of 2013, they both moved to a new state because he signed a new contract at the casino there, and the ex-husband decided to keep living in the townhouse. Sorry, that was long, but here comes the story. One night, my grandmother fell asleep and had a dream about her old townhouse. In the dream, she was standing in her bedroom, which was the master bedroom, looking out of the window that looks out over the front walkway. After a few moments of looking out the window, she turned and saw the ex-husband sitting on the bed behind her. He moved into that room after she left, just looking at her. She woke up, looked at the clock, and saw that it was just past 2 a.m. and went back to sleep. The next day, thinking nothing of the dream because it was so mundane, she went about her day. A couple days went by, and then she received a call from her ex-husband. Because they were still good friends, they talked over the phone every few days, but on this particular day, the call was different. Not exactly sure how the phone conversation went, but I believe it started out talking about the finances, businesses of the townhouse, as per usual. And out of nowhere, he started talking about a weird thing that had happened to him a few nights prior. He said he was watching some movie on TV, and something out of the corner of his eye caught his attention. He looked over towards the window, which is to the right of the bed, and saw my grandmother standing there, staring out of the window. He called her name out, turned around to turn down the volume of the TV while asking her how and what she was doing there, especially since it was so late, 1 a.m. or so. When he turned back around to look at her, she was gone. At this point, my grandmother was freaking out a little bit because everything he said and described about the experience was exactly the same in her dream. She asked him when that happened. It happened the same exact night at the exact same time. I know it sounds a little crazy, but she and I both believe the astral projection happened last night and dreamed and remembered it. The next story has to do with another episode about a haunted children's asylum, if I remember correctly. There was a story about a girl and her friend who were supernaturally forewarned by the friend's grandmother to not walk a certain path that they normally do when going home. At the end of October, my 17-year-old cousin was hit by a car on her way to school that morning. She died the next day from her extensive injuries. Needless to say, the entire family was absolutely devastated. Every Thanksgiving weekend, I fly home to spend the holiday with my parents and siblings. Well, with Thanksgiving coming up in a couple of weeks, as of my writing, my aunt asked us to stay with us so we wouldn't be alone. She had two daughters, my cousin and her older sister, who my aunt did not get along with. My aunt had spent the previous couple of days in the room that we had given her to stay in and had only made a short appearance for dinner on Thanksgiving. We all knew she was having a very rough time, so we let her be. The day after Thanksgiving, my parents, aunt, and one of my younger sisters were sitting in the living room watching TV. I was in the dining room, which is right next to the living room, so I was within hearing distance. During a commercial, my aunt started talking about a strange thing that kept happening to her every night back home. Short background info, my aunt had lupus and is frequently sick. Whenever she wasn't feeling good, my cousin used to run her fingers through my aunt's hair to help her fall asleep. So apparently one night, shortly after my cousin's passing, my aunt was lying in bed crying. As she was lying there, she had the sensation of someone running their fingers through her hair. She went on to say that this happened several more times since then, usually on nights when she was having an especially hard time. She thinks it was my cousin visiting her to help her feel better, like she used to always do, and I believe her. One thing that you continually question on your episodes is the categorization of ghosts and spirits. I personally believe that every ghost and spirit are uniquely different, just like every person is unique and different from the next. Some ghosts may end up being more or less intelligent than another. Same goes for malevolent spirits. It's hard to categorize because so many people have experienced similar yet different entities. In the case of my cousin, I believe that she visits my aunt frequently, just as a protective and caring after death as she was in life. She really was a wonderful and beautiful human being. Sorry this is so long. Just thought I would contribute a thing that's occurred in my life. I have other experiences, and perhaps I'll write in another day. Thank you so much for taking the time to read this. Really love your podcast. Thank you so much. A lot of interesting happenings to unpack in that one.
I'm really glad that she told the story about the astral projection, because I think that may have been a podcast that I was on with you and we were talking about. Mm-hmm. But how interesting that somebody who thought they were dreaming probably wasn't dreaming at all. They were probably actually traveling, mm-hmm. you know, in time and space, whatever it is. And that just so happened somebody at that particular moment, at that particular location, saw it happen.
Yeah.
That is crazy. That's a great story.
Have you ever had an experience like that in a dream where the dream really felt, and I'm not talking about like a visitation dream. I'm talking about where you almost like felt like you were out in the real world, like all of your senses were really kind of there. And it really just felt much more real than other dreams.
I've had them where you have your typical dreams and you're like, you wake up and big deal. I've had dreams though, where it feels like it's real life, but I'm not me. Like I'm me, but it's not my life. It's not the mm-hmm. life I live day to day. It's like somebody else's life that I'm either portraying at that moment or like another life of mine that I'm not fully aware of mm-hmm. on a daily basis.
Yeah.
That's kind of freaky.
I've had that too. And you know, it's been a long time since I've had that. I had it more when I was married.
Really?
And maybe that says, I had this experience so many times where I'm in the stream and I couldn't like give you an identity. It wasn't like Quantum Leap where I'm like coming up with a different name and different looks. I don't think I even like saw what I looked like, but I knew all these other people. It was so bizarre because I could wake up for the first couple seconds and like know the background and all these characters and these dreams. And these people don't exist. But I think it like I would go to this place sometimes and I'd have memories of being there and I'd have memories of this and that. Like everything was just filled in. Like this is normal. And there was no recollection of here and now. Like, I had some days where I would wake up from that experience and for the first second or two, I'd be like, where am I? I know my name, but like, am I married? I just like no recollection of anything. It was almost amnesia like, and then like, boom, you're awake and you're out of it. But, But in the dream, it was the same thing too. But I didn't know that this side existed, the real side, because everything was operating in such this other weird plane. I don't know. I don't know any other way to describe it. And that's probably a very clunky way of doing it, but it was weird.
No, I mean, it makes sense to me only because I've had similar things happen with me. Now, I've never gotten to the point where I wake up and I'm like, where am I? Who am I?
Yeah.
But certainly in those dreams, you know, I'm not Todd, who I am on a daily basis here.
Yeah.
But everything made sense to me in the dream.
Exactly. That's the thing. Like, everything just adds up and there's no like, why would I be doing it? It's like, no, I do this every day.
Right.
It's like, no, I don't. Well, you don't realize that until you wake up. It's some of the weirdest dreams. I did have one, though, where I've had them where I've been laying in bed and I swear, you know, almost for a second or two, you almost feel like you're out of your body. Or like you're in the room, but you're, I don't know. It goes real quick and I feel like I'm right back. Could just be a weird sensation of falling asleep. But I did have one really weird one. And this was, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 years ago. I was working, doing the podcast, and I was actually up at a cabin that I had at the time. And I took a nap in the afternoon. I don't know, I was tired. And I remember falling asleep, and suddenly I was like in my parents' backyard. And it was a little ways out, past a creek and kind of in an area that's just very flat, but there's woods all around. And I could smell everything and I could see everything and it was bright, but there was like this, it was really, it's like looking through like a weird Instagram filter where everything was kind of just not clear, but it was there.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of standing there looking around. I'm like, this really feels like I'm here. This is weird. And it was up to date to today as to what it looks like. It wasn't my childhood memory of what it looked like. I was just like, wow, I really feel like I'm here. And I was there for a couple seconds and then it was just out. But I've never.
So how much acid did you drop right before that?
I've never done acid in my life. But I can only imagine the sort of shit that would happen if I did, because this is just me on a normal basis with like caffeine. It was weird. I was not doing anything at that time. I was nothing at all. I should probably eat a Diet Pepsi that day. But I don't know. I've had a few weird dream experiences, but I don't know. I don't know that it was anything more than just, you know, my mind, you know, being very impactful at certain times.
Sure.
Let's go over to a caller at 855-853-4802. All right, let's hear your story.
Hi, Tony, Harper, Carol, and Todd. This is Alexis from Washington again. I think this was probably story number 6 or 7. I can't keep track, but I've been having some weird things happening in my apartment. It's all started with a dream I had when I was house sitting for my parents. I had the dream when staying in their guest bedroom that I woke up and my two dogs, who are never scared, they're like guard dogs, you know, they were pressed against my head, just trying to get away from a certain corner of the room while on the bed with me. And I looked up and there was a girl standing in the corner of the room facing the corner. So her back was completely to me. And as she turned around, I woke up and I just woke up terrified. And ever since then, I've been having some crazy things happen in my apartment. And it all has basically started with noises that have occurred in my apartment when my cat, who is an outdoor cat, is outside. I've been hearing random tappings and like small bangs around. I figured it was the neighbors, but they sound a little too close for comfort, but I was able to kind of disregard that. Even when with my cat gone, I was just like, whatever, I'm hearing things, you know, it's coming through the walls. It's a little louder than it should be, but that's fine. I've started getting sleep paralysis again. This is not a new thing for me. I have in the past years back, I've been dragged off my bed. I've heard whispers in my ear. most recently with my sleep paralysis, I actually had the feeling of falling off of my bed collapsing. My bed is currently on the floor on a box spring. But in my dream, I was actually on a frame and the headboard collapsed and I was falling towards the headboard, and I woke up and I was completely scrunched up against the top of my bed for no reason. And it really freaked me out. So this is becoming a more real thing for me. I've also started having feelings while I'm laying in bed, playing on my phone, watching TikTok or whatever stupid thing I have pulled up, of someone leaning or sitting on the edge of my bed when my cat is gone. Again, I close my window at night because it gets cold and I wait for her to tap on the window to let her in so I know it's not her. And my cat also has started following things with her gaze, and at times she gets startled, like there's something in the room, and she kind of comes crawling up towards me and meowing and looking in the direction of my living room. I don't know what it is. I never really hear anything, but she's catching on, at least until recently. There's also times where I have my window open. It is winter. It's about 40 degrees here and it's chilly, but I get extremely hot, like flashes or like heat spots in my bedroom where I rip off the covers. I cannot sleep. But at other times when it is really cold and I have the heater running, it gets really, really cold and I can't make any sense of that. I do have this ghost app on my phone and it has started opening up on its own and something comes across and it just says hello. And I promise I have not been opening it. It's not even on one of my main screens. It's in my app menu that you have to swipe up to access. And for some reason, it's been opening up and things have been communicating with me. I get hello, I get hi, and I keep trying to close it out. And for some reason, it keeps popping up. Let me think. So it's starting to get a little more serious. When I'm doing dishes and I'm alone, again, my cat's outside, I have the feeling of someone behind me. I have an Alexa that I'm borrowing from my boyfriend, and she's constantly going off. And in the middle of the night, I woke up and she was glowing orange, which my boyfriend later told me it means she's searching for a signal. But it still freaked me out either way, and she often comes on and says the term, "I'm sorry, I didn't hear that," and I haven't said anything to her. Most recently, I'm sorry, this is getting long. I've been waking up with just feelings of dread and panic, like something was in the room with me and I just missed it. My heart is beating fast and I'm just so scared and I don't want to look up. I keep my head under the covers. I've started to get like crazy, scary thoughts and images put into my head where I've never had this before. I don't take anything to go to sleep. I don't drink or smoke before I sleep, but for some reason all these creepy crawly images are popping into my head and distracting me and freaking me out, and I don't know what to do about that. I am starting to feel a little validated because my boyfriend, who I've been dating for a while, has stayed over, and both of us at separate times in the middle of the night have caught glimpses of somebody peeking around the corner into my room. We each kind of just shake it off thinking, oh, it's our imagination, but we both have said, hey, I've seen something. Looks like, you know, just a head popping around. I have a curtain because I live in a studio, so I set up a curtain to create a bedroom, and the curtain has moved and it looks like somebody is peeking in, and we both have seen it. He also has had the creepy imagery put into his head where something bad is happening, or I will have my arm around him while sleeping and he imagines like claws coming out of my hand and hurting him. It's just, I don't even know how to explain it. My most recent occurrence is I actually had a dream of a particular demon. attacking me. I'm probably going to have to call back and explain this one because this is getting kind of long. I will call back with this particular dream about a demon, but it has definitely carried into real life, and it's just freaking me out. If you guys can give me any thoughts on it, I'll call back. Probably tonight, honestly, so I can finish my story. So if you get two stories from me tonight, the second one will be much, much shorter. But let me know what you think. Maybe you can put my little short story that'll be about 3 or 4 minutes into the same podcast. I don't know. But anyways, thank you guys. I feel better for actually having somebody to share this with and not feeling crazy, even though sometimes I do feel like I am. Let me know what you think of the podcast. As always, keep doing what you do, as always. And I am a gravekeeper because that's my favorite podcast. And yeah, keep it up. Thank you. Bye.
Well, it certainly sounds like there's something dark hanging around with them.
A lot of this is just conjecture and just my thought process on hearing what she's got going on. Maybe something did attach itself when she stayed at her parents' house. Maybe it was something that was trying to communicate at some point, made its way back to her place, and maybe it's been trying to communicate. The problem is that you never know exactly what you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. Some of the stuff she's experiencing is kind of dark, sounds sinister. It may just be an energy, spirit playing tricks because they can. It could be something dark. She may have allowed something in or brought something in, and because she hasn't put it at bay and set up boundaries, it just keeps getting stronger and stronger and stronger and doing things that it sees she reacts to. So a couple of things I would do right off the bat. If she has an affiliation with any kind of church, she should definitely do some prayers. And if it's like Catholicism, get some of those crucifixes up, whatever that is. If she's not into that, something else she should do immediately is sage or use Palo Santo wood burning in her apartment and cleanse that area. Better yet, find somebody in your area that is very well schooled on that and have them come in and clear that apartment. Beyond that, she can help herself with black tourmaline, clear quartz, and tiger's eye, all for protection, but have all three on her at all times. So,
well, look at you. You're like, well, you are.
I'm listening to this, and it's kind of like to the point where I'm like, I'm getting a little concerned for her.
Yeah.
Because if they're not just a cold spot, if they're not just moving a curtain, and now they're actually making her dream certain things.
Sure.
That's getting a little on the side where I'd be like, enough. And the other thing she needs to do is have a vocal conversation in this apartment and say, enough's enough. This is my space. You either need to go or you're going to adhere to my rules.
Sure.
Because she still has the power at this point, but she has to reaffirm that power in front of whatever's there.
I agree. And I think another thing with all of it is just trying to get some more positivity in one's life.
Yes.
That is when you're in these sort of places. I mean, number one, it sounds like it could very easily lead to depression, you know, but I think that these things feed on that. These things try to take you to those places. And then you get caught up in that. And there's also something else going on. And really the things, all of that, all the negativity, as much of that as even the mundane shit that you think is just, you know, not a big deal. Get rid of some of that for a while and you'll start to feel a difference. You'll start to see a difference because if it is something negative, it's just going to keep feeding off any negativity that's going on in your world and what you're allowing in. If you can try to, you know, slowly work on that, that can make a huge difference as well because it's not going to want to, you know, hang out in an environment like that.
Yeah. The more scared you get, the more frightened you get, the better this seems to like it.
Yeah.
So turn that around, play some of your favorite music. Again, if there's certain prayers you want to say, things you want to say to be positive and just say, you're not going to do this to me. Mm-hmm. A lot of that can go a long way, whether it's truly dealing with something that is paranormal or it's in your own mind. Either way, get your guard up, protect yourself, and you make the changes you need to make in order to stop this from continuing.
Turn the beat around. Love to hear percussion. There you go.
Thank you, Gloria Estefan and or Vicky Carr, whatever it is. Thank you very much.
I like the Gloria version better. I thought it was, I did.
You would.
Yeah,
you would.
I know the other one was old. I thought more of that. I don't know. Anyway.
I'm sorry. I guess it's Vicky Carr, Vicky Robinson, I think.
Vicky Sue Robinson?
Vicky Sue Robinson. That is correct.
Is that? Yeah, okay. God, it's been so long. Ah, yeah. These names are just like in the back, like ethers of my head that I never really visit anymore. It's like, oh yes, it's knowledge that I'll never ever use. All right, there you go. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all of our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. It's the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. Get all of that, only $5 a month, and start binging away commercial-free today. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.